across my office study in 1995, so it's quite old, but the illustration still stands. The illustration is this. It was a question to Ann Landers. Those of us remember the little column she would have in the newspaper. And it goes like this. Dear Ann Landers, I am a divorced woman in my early 50s. An interesting and intellect man has been seeing me for about a year, asked me out of the blue if I believed in hell. I didn't know how to respond because I had never thought seriously about it. That stuck on my mind. I have never thought seriously about it. Wouldn't you say that's the bulk of our people today? That we don't seriously think about the other location. We often, and rightfully so, think about heaven because that's where you want to go. We often ignore, by choice often, not to think about hell. That we have a loving God, surely he wouldn't send us to hell. Let's correct that right now. God is a loving God, and he makes a way for all of us to get to go to heaven. So I do believe, as we study on the topic of hell this morning, there are two locations that is the choice of our destiny. Our destiny is not on this earth. Our destiny is hereafter, either in heaven or in hell. There's not much preaching done on hell. It's not a fun subject. But the Bible talks just as much about hell as it does heaven. And we've got to be aware of this. In fact, I will suggest this before we go into our study this morning. If we did take hell seriously, we'd have a better nation. We'd have better people. And we'd have more people in this audience. But nobody pays attention to that, do they? Including some of my brethren. So for a short time this morning, we're going to look at some biblical passages. We're not going to do an exhaustive study. Time will not permit that. We're not going to go into a bunch of Greek words because I don't think that is necessary to get the basic understanding. We're going to just take some general teachings in the Word of God as we study this topic of hell. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. And I hope it'll stay uncomfortable if you're not following Christ and his teachings. That's the problem. People are too comfortable. That's why the teachings of Christ and the promise he gave is not really relevant because we don't think about that. How sad that is. So let's begin this morning by, and you should be in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, there we have recorded for us in Scripture, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now this idea of destroy here comes from the word which means to devote or to give over to eternal misery. I guess a lot of people have concluded in their mind, well, if you don't go to heaven, you just go to annihilation. That's not true, people. Hell is the same duration as heaven. We're going to see that this morning as we study. So this destroy does not mean being annihilated. It means the idea of giving over to eternal misery. God warns us about this, but so often the case, we don't pay attention to that. The word hell is used 12 times in the New Testament. Now, if you have the King James Version, they also use Hades as hell. We're not going to talk about Hades this morning. They also use the word Tartarus, but we're going to just focus on hell itself, Gehenna. We have a point I have here, and this was a tract by V.E. Howard, and hell defined Gehenna. It states, in the Greek, representative of Hebrew Gehenim, or the Valley of Hinnom. It was a deep, narrow valley south of Jerusalem where idolatrous Jews sacrificed their children to the god Molech. After that time of Josiah, this practice was ended, and the place became a common garbage dump to Jerusalem, where all kinds of filth, trash, animal bodies, and even bodies of criminals were cast. It was a deep and narrow valley with a continual stream of fire and smoke ascending therefore. It became the symbol of a place of everlasting punishment. Now, I know many of you have not been in the Chicagoland area. Some say, well, that's hell. No, that's not hell. No, don't jump ahead of me. But in the Chicagoland area, we were by a place where a lot of the sewage went. And my son would always make a comment when we went through that one area. That little place was undesirable. Those who had houses there must have gotten them quite cheap because I wouldn't buy a house near that area. Back in the first century, when the Jews saw this pit of all this nastiness, it reminded them of hell. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to hell. In fact, I'll let you in a little secret of mine. It's not a secret because I'm going to tell you now. It was a lesson on hell that finally convinced me to obey the gospel. I'll never forget that. Bob Archer was preaching on hell that day, and I didn't converse with my wife. She didn't converse with me, but by the time he was done with his lesson, I determined that's not where I want to go. And I came forward. Unbeknown to me, my wife was also coming forward behind me. Unbeknown to her, two more people were coming forward. So there were four of us who were baptized on that day. And that wasn't the only reason, but quite frankly, I do believe there's a place called hell. The Bible talks about it. And I do believe it's my choice as to whether I get heaven or hell. And praise God for his mercy that we get the choice. Because we all deserve to go to hell because we've sinned. But I get the choice to go to heaven. How wonderful that is. So this morning, for a short time, we're going to just go across a few passages as we look at the topic of hell. I like that picture. I don't know who drew it, but you can see that guy's not enjoying himself. It's a very difficult situation he's in. Hell is not something to make fun of. I've heard people say, well, you know, I go to either heaven or hell. It really doesn't matter because I have friends in both places. Okay? And that is probably true. We probably have friends and loved ones in both places. But just because we might have friends and loved ones in both places, that's not where I want to go. I don't want to go there. So let's just look at a few passages as we look at this topic of hell. The first thing, of course, it's eternal. It lasts as long as heaven, and heaven is eternal. It is not annihilation. It is eternal. We want to understand that. Let's begin by turning to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, and when you get to Matthew chapter 25, go down to verse 31. We're all familiar with this. This is talking about the sheep and the goats. You get to determine, as I get to determine, whether I'm going to be a sheep or a goat. May I suggest, though we look at these little goats running around, they're cute, you don't want to be a goat. You want to be a sheep. Let's read. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. We're going to only read verses 31 through 33 at this time. When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. I want to stop there. You don't want to be on the left hand. You want to be on the right hand. Now, for time's sake, because we're going to other passages, let's drop down to 41, speaking of the goats. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, do you hear what we have here? Everlasting fire. Why is fire used? Well, I'm not God. I can't say absolutely. But I am told that brings the most gruesome pain that you can think of. I had friends in Chicago who worked for the police department and one for the fire department. And when they would get burn victims, there were very few hospitals that would involve severe burn victims. They were usually flown to Loyola. And they said the pain is excruciating when you're a burn victim because there's not a whole lot you can do. Sometimes you put these burn victims in vapor or some kind of chambers so that they can have just a brief sense of not relief, but lessen the pain. I've never been burned like that, so I can't visualize how serious that is. But when we think of fire, it is just mind-boggling as to what could take place. You know, when I think of this fire and this everlasting fire, I'm reminded back to 2001 and 9/11. Those of us that are old enough, we remember it as if it was yesterday, do we not? And remember when those buildings collapsed, the first and then the second? And do you know there were people who literally jumped to their death? They jumped. Now, there was over 2,977 people. Now, I'm not saying all of them did. But some of those in the 2,977 people jumped to their death. You know why? The only option was to be burned to death. That's how horrible. So what God has done for us, and by the way, I'm not trying to scare you. There's two places. There's heaven or there's hell. Now, we want to talk about the joys of heaven. We do that quite a bit. But we want to just eliminate the idea of this concept of hell. I want us to see what God is trying to show us, how serious this is. That's going to be eternal fire. And verse 46, it goes on to say, oh, and by the way, it's not talking about just evil, evil people. It's people who aren't doing that which was right. Verse 46. And those will go away into everlasting punishment. So verse 41, everlasting fire. Verse 46, everlasting punishment. Who's that to? The goats. Guess what, people? You and I get to choose whether I want to be a lamb or a goat. But remember, with the choice that we make comes the consequence. If you end up being a goat, that was your choice. If I end up being a goat, that's my choice. But don't blame God, because he sent his son to take away our sins. We ignored that if we're goats. How sad that is. Sad if people understood and thought about hell, we'd have a full house. Because who wants to go to hell? I'm not going to buy a ticket to go to hell, are you? And I'm not using profanity. I'm talking about a place called hell. Also, as we talk about the eternalness of hell, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, again, if you're here, members or visitors, I'm not here trying to scare you. I'm just sharing with you scriptures. Those scriptures are trying to teach us how serious this is. In other words, we need to take, in fact, all of us like to hear about heaven, do we not? That's a wonderful place. We want to just pretend there's no such a place as hell. In fact, I think in America, there's actually a town called hell. I wouldn't want to live in the town called hell. I know everybody makes a big joke out of it, but there's nothing funny about hell. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, read with me carefully what this says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning verse 7. To give you who are troubled, that's the Christians who are going through tribulation, give you who are troubled, rest with us in the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's talking about the judgment. Look at verse 8. And what? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Okay, 8 and 9. And flaming fire. And goes on to talk about verse 9. Punished with everlasting destruction. Again, Thayer's Greek lexicon says this for the word destruction. He said, it is the loss of a life of blessedness after death / future misery. As I'm preparing this lesson, I'm trying to think, how can I relate to us how serious that is? And I really didn't come up with anything. So I'll ask you this. I want you to take in your life, no matter how long it's been, the worst pain you've had thus far in this life. Whether it was pain because of maybe some mouth problems or pain because of something else. Maybe you've actually been burned as severe as we talked about. But I want you to take whatever pain you've had so far, the worst, absolute worst pain you've had experienced so far in your life. And I want you to multiply that in your mind tenfold with no relief. Who wants to go there? Not I. How about you? God's not trying to scare us. He's just saying, when your soul leaves your body, there's two destinations. There's heaven and there's hell. There's heaven and there's hell. And here in this passage, it's not talking about just evil people only. You agree with me, there's evil people in the world. We're talking about those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord. That's pretty clear. You don't have to go to a commentary to figure that passage out. Very clear. So again, I'm not trying to, you're going to scare. I don't want to scare. I want you to understand. It's your choice. It's my choice. But understand, there's going to be two localities. And why would we ever want to choose to go to hell? And I think people choose to go to hell because they really don't take it seriously. They've concluded in their mind, regardless who you are, what you've done, regardless, you're going to get heaven. And that's not true. Now, you can have heaven by the blood of Christ. We'll talk about that at the end. But here we're told it's eternal. We're also told it being a place of outer darkness. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, you know, when we think of darkness, we think of evil or bad things happening. Now, in the city, you'd really never get outer darkness. I've never been in outer darkness, that's said here, but when I held a meeting years ago in Canada, I was staying in the home of a man who was in the country. Now, in Canada, this area, they do things a little bit different. There's no lamps. There's no lighting. So you had the lighting at the house, and then I think his next neighbor was about a mile or a mile and a half away. And from his house to the next house, there's no lighting. So I'm big shot. I'm going to go walk at night because I'm so healthy. So, well, you need a flashlight. Well, okay, thank God I took that flashlight. Because once I got away from that house, I shut that flashlight off and you saw nothing. You ever been in a situation like that? Darkness. Outer darkness. Nothing. No positive, no light. You know, when I think of outer darkness, let's read Matthew 25 and verse 30. It goes on to state, and cast the unprofitable servant. This is the one talent man. Again, it's not someone who went out and was a mass murderer. It was an individual who did nothing with his talent. And we find here, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Oh, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why do you think? Now, God, by inspiration, put that there, did he not? Why do you think he put that there? Just as a comic relief? No. To try to get in our little puny brains how serious this is. Again, when we equate darkness scripturally, we equate it with sin. Here we've got outer darkness. What I put in my notes as I look at this passage, there's no hope. Mercy is no longer available. I think that qualifies for outer darkness, does it not? You see, as long as we have a breath of life on this earth, mercy is still available. If I die in a condition that I am not in Christ, mercy will no longer be available. The freedom from that pain will no longer be available. I don't know about you, but that's serious to me. That's why I don't want that to happen. No preacher will send you to hell. You make the choice. You make the choice. I make the choice. God wants us to have heaven. But we don't take it seriously. I have friends in both places. Now, that's true. But that's not a place I want to go. It's to go to hell. As I already touched it, it's a place of eternal misery. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And I could say that for the next 20 minutes and you'd get bored. But that keeps on going. Let's go to some passages. Why does God do this? He's trying to show us, hey, here's your choice. I sent my son so you can have heaven. But if you choose not, here's the other locality. You're going to get hell. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13, verses 37 through 43. Matthew chapter 13. Now you might be saying, well, I don't agree with that preacher. That, you know, that's totally up to you. But you still have those scriptures there. Right? You still have those scriptures there. So I'm not trying to be sarcastic. If you don't want to agree with me, that's fine. But I'm free from your blood that I've warned you. You've got two choices. You got the choice of going to heaven, be a sheep. Or you got the choice of being a goat, going to hell. It's your choice. Matthew 13, verse 37. We have recorded for us in this occasion, as he talks about the kingdom, beginning in verse 37, he answered and said to them, he who sows good seed is what? The Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. So verse 37, verse 39, 37, you got the Son of God. Verse 39, you've got the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into a furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Goes on to state, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who hath, look at verse 43, listen up. He who hath ears, let him hear. Makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, here it is. It's going to be the end of the age. He's going to send his angels. Going to weed out the righteous from the unrighteous. And the unrighteous, as we look at verse 42, going to cast them in the furnace of fire, wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, what kind of picture does that depict in your mind? Does it depict the picture that you want to be a part of? Not me. We've got the wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's talking about eternal suffering. See, even when we suffer on this earth, it's what? It's temporary. Thank goodness for that. Here, it's going to be eternal. This is how serious this is. Don't take it lightly. I know the devil wants you to just kind of ignore it. But God gives us warnings. Continue on as we look at that, Matthew 13, verses 47 through 50. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet which was cast in the sea and gathered some every kind. And when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good in the vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into a furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Another warning, is it not? So as it gives these parables of the kingdom, it says, okay, here it is. You can be, go to heaven, or you can go to hell. I want you, God says, to go to heaven. That's why I sent my son. God wants us, now remember, he doesn't take away our freedom of choice. He wants us to have heaven. The reason the earth is still standing is he's giving us time to get our act together to go to heaven, right? But you know what? We can just ignore it. Oh, and by the way, and again, listen carefully. This is not my opinion. Don't leave here and say, well, that's just his opinion. No, I'm giving you book, chapter, and verse. If you don't believe me, go home and study these passages out. This is scripture. This is a serious matter. Let me put it to you simply. Supposing you've got the choice, cancer or no cancer. Is there anybody in this audience who would say, I'll take cancer? What is the matter with you? You ever see cancer patients as they die? How sad it is? And that's nothing in comparison to hell. Now, sometimes I don't have a choice when it comes to cancer. But I do have a choice when it comes to hell. And we choose to ignore it. Isn't that sad? We choose to ignore it. How ridiculous that is. If this truly, which I believe it is, if this is truly the Word of God, we best give heed to it. But let's go on. It's a place of undesirable company. It's a place that you're not going to be comfortable, not only because of the pain you're suffering, but you're going to be in the midst of undesirable company. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation 21. In Revelation chapter 21, in verse 8. Oh, preacher, you're not going to scare me. Oh, my friend, you missed the lesson. I'm not here trying to scare you. I'm just here telling you that if this is completely the Word of God, we need to believe all of it, not just the parts we like. And this part, though I don't like it, it's there. In Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow, that's keeping good company, isn't it? Of course not. Now, we could go on more examples, but we're going to stop with the examples now and just why did God put those illustrations in there for us? Because he needed to make the book bigger? No. Because he wants us to be aware. Our eternal soul that is within us will end up in one of two locations. It'll either end up in hell by the grace and mercy and blood of Christ, or it'll end up, in heaven by the grace, mercy, and blood of Christ, or it'll end up in hell because I chose to ignore that. I don't know about you, but to me, that's a serious, serious matter. So as we bring it to a close, the good news is we can escape hell. We get to escape hell through Jesus Christ. We don't escape hell because we're just such great people. We get escape hell through Christ. Let's remember these passages. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and what? To die is gain. Because if I'm living for Christ, then I'm going to have what? I'm going to have heaven. I've put on Christ. I'm serving Christ. So when I die, I'm going to have heaven. Notice, if you're not living for Christ, where does that put you? Put you heading towards hell. Is it not? Oh, but he's a good person. People talk like that. Yeah, that might be a good person, but what do you need? You need Christ. The access for me to go to heaven is Jesus Christ, my Lord. I put him on at baptism, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And then I walk faithfully according to his will to the best of my ability. And I can pillow my head at night knowing which destination I'm heading towards. But if I'm ignoring Christ and his teachings on a day-to-day basis, you might convince yourself you're going to heaven. But if you're ignoring Christ and his teachings, may I suggest seriously, you're going the wrong direction. You're going the wrong direction. It's totally up to you. I don't want you to come forward and say, well, the preacher forced me. I won't force anybody to do it. I just want you to be aware. Here are the two choices. And that's right. And it's not like going to the grocery store where you got 600 choices. You have two choices. You have heaven. You have hell. It's totally up to you. Totally up to me. What I want to do. And Revelation chapter 14, let's go there. In Revelation 14 and verse 13, we have recorded for us here a very simple passage. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead. Listen, not just blessed are the dead, not simply because you died. Blessed are the dead, what? Who die in the Lord. From now on, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So it's blessed are the dead who die where? In the Lord. That goes back to Philippians 1:21, doesn't it? For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So he gives us, okay, here's your soul. That's what's eternal. The part you cannot see. That soul will never die. That soul will never die. Where's it going? That's my choice. Where's it going? That's your choice. And thank goodness we have a choice, because had Christ not come, there'd be no choice. But since he came and died for us, there's a choice. I get to choose to go to heaven. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation 20. In Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades delivered the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? The only way it can be written in the book of life is if you put on Christ and serve him. Your name gets to go in the book of life by serving Christ, because that's where I get the blood of Christ. If I'm not in Christ, if I don't have my sins forgiven through his blood, I'm not there. Now here's the beauty part. As long as I've got a breath of life, can I change? Absolutely. That's the beauty part. Why would we ever want to put something like that off? I don't know, but people do, don't they? You know why? Perhaps we've been to too many funerals. Perhaps we've been to too many funerals. Because almost every funeral you go to, whether the guy was religious or not, they put them where? In heaven. That guy preaching the funeral is not God. I tend to focus to this book. God will determine. And God has told us he determines whether or not your name is in the book of life. And that's your choice. My choice. That's why, as we close with just two more passages this morning, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. You know, as I prepared this lesson, I'm thinking, boy, would I have been in a mess had Jesus not come and died for me. Because there's no way I could have been in the book of life without his blood. No way whatsoever. How about you? But because of his blood, by serving him, I get to be put in the book of life. My name's going to be there as long as I serve Christ. That being said, Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh boy, so great it is. Because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to have the eternal pain or misery. I know I try to be a he-man and I try to withstand what little pain comes in my life, but I don't want to deal with that pain. How about you? Forever and ever and ever? That's what gets to await you or me if I don't follow that so great a salvation. God sent his best, Jesus Christ, so we could escape hell. And yet so many in this country just ignore that. It's no big deal to them. And understand this. It's a matter of personal choice. It's a big deal to me. I'm going to say this about this lesson. If you didn't get anything out of it, that's up to you. But I sure did. It re-motivated me because I don't want to go there. I want to go to heaven with the precious blood of Christ. And then we close with this passage. In Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. I like that word eternal salvation, don't you? We talked about eternal condemnation, eternal suffering, eternal darkness. But this is eternal life through Jesus Christ. By obeying him. It's really, people, that simple. So here it is. Here, as we tie it all together. Every one of us in this audience has a soul. Now, there's some that are very little. They're in a safe condition. Little children and infants are in a safe condition. But as I look in the audience, most of us aren't little children. Most of us are old enough to make decisions. And we have a soul. Ask yourself the question, where do you want to have your soul end up? You want it to end up in heaven? Or you want it to end up in hell? It's your choice. I'm not being sarcastic. It's your choice. But understand, please understand how serious a choice it is. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the congregation. Don't blame the hypocrite. The only one we have to blame is who? Ourselves. Remember Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation. God wants you to be saved. He doesn't want your soul to end up in hell forever and ever and ever having torments. He wants you to be in the presence of his Son and himself and the Holy Spirit. But you have to repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then to the best of whatever your ability is to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And I'm heading for heaven. Which way are you heading as we stand and as we sing? Thank you.